my alarm was going off, maybe like many of your listeners, at 5:30 in the morning back home, and I was up rushing to work, maybe squashing a piece of toast in on the way if I was lucky. Today I wake up anytime I feel like it with the natural sunlight, which is such a beautiful thing. I have time to eat and make healthy food for myself, so I always have a healthy breakfast. My husband and I bought bicycles, and sometimes we bicycle around.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Ann Nelson, your host for today's show. Are you feeling stressed out with your life? Are you getting up early and coming home late and never really getting the time to unwind? Today's guest, Rachel Devlin, spent 25 years working as a high school teacher, rising to the position of deputy principal in Sydney's western suburbs. She was inspired from information she gathered from International Living Australia and a chance encounter at an event in Chiang Mai, set her plans in action to retire early and move overseas. At the ripe old age of 46, Rachel resigned from a career she loved, sold the house she built with her husband, let go of a vast majority of her material possessions, and packed her family off to Chiang Mai. So if you were thinking of retiring early, great to know that it is possible. Have a listen to this episode of Retire Well, Retire Happy, and see how this one family achieved that dream. So today, my guest is Rachel Devlin, and she is the Chiang Mai correspondent for International Living Australia. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Oh, thanks, Anne. It's lovely to be here.
And I'm pleased to see we've got a nice clear line for all these miles apart we are.
Yes, that's right. It's great to be able to communicate with people with good internet in Thailand.
And you're retired over there, and that's one of the things that is important to retirees. No matter where they come from, they can still communicate with the outside world.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I think my husband might communicate more with his family now that he's moved 9,000 kilometres away.
It's interesting that you've moved your family there. Could you be able to tell us about a brief background into your move away from Australia?
Yes, I actually came over here with my husband and my son, who was 16 when we moved over here. And I guess I'd just quite a few things happened to me personally that was the catalyst for making me think about living a different kind of life. So I had some health issues, and my husband also had some health issues, and that made me, I had two surgeries, one of them was emergency surgery. So that really started to make me reflect upon my life and whether my life was meeting my needs. And I loved my career. I was a deputy principal of a high school in New South Wales. I loved that job and I loved the people I work with. However, I've been in the business a long time and I've started to feel a little bit stale, I suppose. So I just began to start thinking, what am I doing? How am I going to meet my needs better? I was spending long hours working. I was paying off my house and I wasn't really getting to enjoy this house that I was paying off because I was always at work or asleep exhausted. So I just really was starting to search for other options and decided that if I worked out with my husband, if we moved overseas, I could actually retire early. So I retired at 46, and moving overseas really allowed me to afford to be able to do that.
That's incredible. I've heard stories about you can retire early. So this is one way to retire early, is to retire early in another country.
That's exactly right. However, I'm not taking any superannuation. We had to find ways to self-fund that, but that's definitely what we chose to do. And I have to say, I don't have any regrets about it whatsoever.
And the whole family, are they still there? Are they still enjoying the life you're leading over there now with them?
Yes, yes. My husband and I have quite lovely days. They're not as high octane as they used to be, not as fast and busy. We're learning a slower, more leisurely pace. My son actually goes to school here in one of the international schools. So it's an American curriculum, so he won't be finished his schooling till next year.
Mm. And can you tell me a bit about what life is like over there for you?
Sure. I can certainly tell you about the moments I really appreciate, because I was getting up, my alarm was going off, maybe like many of your listeners, at 5:30 in the morning back home, and I was up rushing to work, maybe squashing a piece of toast in on the way if I was lucky. Today I wake up anytime I feel like it with the natural sunlight, which is such a beautiful thing. I have time to eat and make healthy food for myself, so I always have a healthy breakfast. My husband and I bought bicycles, and sometimes we bicycle around, or I go for walks around my area, and there's so many interesting little nooks and crannies to discover. I mean, I've been living here in the house that I'm living in now, I've been living in 1 year, and I still haven't discovered all the nooks and crannies and alleyways and surprises and cafes and gardens. So that's a nice part of my morning. Where I live has a shared swimming pool, though not many Thai people swim, so we often have that to ourselves. So if it gets a little bit hot, we go down and have a swim in the day, and we like exploring one of the many restaurants that are in Chiang Mai. I think there's about I believe there's over 600 restaurants in Chiang Mai. So we do lots of lunches, which I've never ever done before. I never conceived myself of being able to do, because obviously the cost of living here is very low.
Right. And are you mixing with the locals, or are you mainly mixing with the expat population over there?
Oh, look, probably a little bit of both. I mean, there's around, I don't know for sure, but I think it's between 20 to 40,000 expats in Chiang Mai. Now, we have, in terms of Australians, we have 2,000 expats in Chiang Mai that are Australian. 1,500 of those are in the city or close to the city of Chiang Mai, and there's about 500 just spread throughout northern Thailand. So there's definitely plenty of people to meet, and I volunteer at the expat breakfast to help new people who come. So the Chiang Mai expat page on the internet, they've got their own web page, they have all the events that they have, so I volunteer and we eat breakfast and I answer questions. And it's tricky coming to a new country in many ways, and it's wonderful that there's a support network here. In terms of Thai people, I do mix with some Thai people. I've become quite close, obviously, to the people that work in the places that I frequent, so regular restaurants and things. I live in an area where it's mostly Thai people. They tend to stick to themselves. However, they're very friendly if you interact with them. But I imagine that making Thai friends will happen, but probably more slowly than expat friends. I've got to practice my Thai. There are quite a lot of people in Thailand that don't speak English or don't speak English very well. So that's another barrier for making Thai friends.
Right. Is it an easy place to live, I suppose?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty easy place. Yes, we have a very beautiful lifestyle here. It's very relaxed. I love the slowness of it. Even though Chiang Mai is quite a big city, and certainly the largest city in northern Thailand, it doesn't have high rise. So I have all the conveniences that a city would provide me, but it still is a very laid back, not quite country, but there's certainly country feel to it. So the lifestyle is very easy and very relaxed and peaceful and gentle. It's a gentle lifestyle here. I needed that.
And I've spoken to a couple of people now that have chosen to live overseas, and the temperature seems to be important, and it seems as though people are looking for an escape from the cold, but they're also escaping from the heat.
Well, that's right. And I was originally the last place I was living in was in the Blue Mountains in Sydney. And I really got sick of winters. I really was over the cold weather. I really like living in a warm climate. Chiang Mai is cooler than the southern sister cities. In fact, a lot of Thai people from Bangkok come to Chiang Mai for their holidays so that they can enjoy the cooler weather. Though the cool season, which I think is, you know, it's around our Christmas holiday period in Australia, it's still warm in the day. It might be about 30 in the day, but it cools down at night time. It might cool down to about 10 degrees at night time. So there is a cool season. But Chiang Mai is still pretty warm. In the hot season, it can be, it's as hot as Australia, but the humidity, I suppose, is the thing that makes it feel more hot.
Well, I live in a humid area in the North Queensland that's north of the Tropic of Capricorn but south of the equator, and it gets very warm and tropical here, so I know I know all about it.
Well, that's funny because I had some neighbours, they've gone now. I had some lovely neighbours move in from Australia, and they were from a northern Queensland suburb, I can't remember which one, but they didn't find the temperature too different. So the weather too different. But, you know, it's just I never needed an excuse to jump in the pool, but it's lovely to dive into water on a warm day with the sunshine shining down. I love it.
Sounds wonderful. So what makes Chiang Mai so attractive?
It's got an X factor that's hard to explain, but I guess like anywhere, you know, you fall in love with the place. But for me, I think that there's a lot to do here. You can have a very busy life, even though it's relaxed and gentle. There's always things on. There's lots of cultural events, both Thai and Europeans. So there's always a celebration going on. Thai people love celebrations, so they will celebrate Christmas with Westerners here. They will celebrate Thanksgiving. They will have things on. So there's always things going on. There's art galleries. There's lots of museums. There's lots of music here. Chiang Mai is very well known for its music scene, from classic to jazz to rock. So really, it's alive. It feels quite alive and vibrant. For Western eyes, I guess it looks a little bit different. Some people could come here and only see sort of the poorer things, like the, you know, like some of the houses that don't look as pretty as in Australia, or the road conditions or whatever. But if you look at the world through those eyes, then you mightn't like Chiang Mai, but there is so much beauty here. There are so many beautiful gardens. There are so many beautiful places to hang out. There are so many beautiful temples to visit. There's so much beautiful architecture here. So it's a pretty amazing place. And I really couldn't live in the country, a country place. I needed to be near a city. So it really does have everything I could need, like good internet. And I'm close to everything. Chiang Mai is big and little at the same time. You're really only about half an hour away from anywhere that you need to be around the city. So there's a convenience around that as well.
Sounds wonderful. Is it an easy place to move to as far as relocating and getting visas and all that?
Well, interesting question, Anne. There are a few little hoops you have to jump through, but I don't see them as so bad. Some people don't like them. Actually, International Living Australia just put out the retirement index, and Malaysia was voted number one as the best place for expats to retire to. And part of that was about the visas. Malaysia's really looking for people to retire to their country. Thailand has a slightly different attitude, but it's not particularly difficult. I actually came over just on a 30-day visa exempt holiday visa, and then I applied for a 3-month non-immigration visa, which then meant I could apply for a retirement visa. Now, you need to be over 50 to retire in Thailand, and I'm not over 50, but my husband is, so I could follow on his visa. Now, all that you really need to do is prove to Thailand that you are capable of funding yourself. So before you apply, you have to have 800,000 Thai baht in a bank account, which equates to around about 32,000 Australian dollars, and you just have to have it in a bank account 2 months before you apply for your visa, or you can go to the embassy and write a stat deck and prove that you are earning 65,000 Thai baht a month, which equates to about 2,600 Australian. And once that's stamped and your paperwork's stamped, so you know your ID, I had to have a, because I was following on my husband's visa, I had to have a marriage certificate to prove I was married to him, and my son had, we had to show his birth certificate, but that was it really. So a little bit of hoop jumping, and but there are visa agents in Thailand, so you can just take it to an agent, and for a small fee, they help you with it and do it all for you, and run around for you, and photocopy everything for you, and so it's easy in many ways.
Right. Well, that sounds easy. Is there any compulsion to give employment to the locals from you being allowed to stay in their country?
No, there's no compulsion for that. No, there's no, that's not necessary at all. Though we do contribute, you know, we're always, I'm always employing someone to do something, whether it's painting the house or connecting something or fixing something, installing garden watering systems. So, I mean, we certainly contribute here to the economy, but we don't have to.
Right.
No.
And what would the average be? Do most people just rent over there, or are they actually buying?
Look, I think most people rent. Most of the expats I know rent, though I know a few people that have bought. I bought property over here 10 years ago, which was another reason why I ended up here, because I liked it so much. It's very easy to buy units or apartments here. They call them condos in Thailand. It's very easy to buy and it's very cheap. I bought my first studio apartment in the best street in Chiang Mai 10 years ago for about $28,000. It's worth a lot more now, but so it's pretty easy. But buying houses is a bit more tricky because there are rules about land, that foreigners can't buy land here, but there are 1,000 ways to do that legally, but it's quite a complex process. So most people have bought that I know that have bought here have bought units.
Right. So what do you do in your spare time? Have you done much travelling since you've been over there?
I really haven't, because my son's at school and he's in his last year, so we're sort of hanging around for him for that and helping him with my husband has to take him to school on his motorbike every morning. So we haven't really done a lot of travelling yet, but it's certainly in our plans. I mean, really, there's about 5 countries that are within 3 or 2 hours just around here. It's a really great place, Thailand, as a base to travel. My neighbours, my Australian neighbours I referred to before, they were staying in Chiang Mai just as a base. They lived here for a year and they used that as a base to travel in lots of places. So I haven't been to Vietnam, unfortunately. I'm really planning on doing that and exploring Vietnam a little bit more. That's my first port of call, but certainly the other Asian countries around us.
Mm. And I see you're a correspondent for International Living Australia. Is that a widely read publication in thinking of going over there?
Yes, it really is. International Living, the magazine, I believe it's an American magazine. It's been running since, it's early or mid-70s, I believe, and it's every American that I meet knows that magazine. The Australian version has just begun. It's in its infancy, but it's doing very well. We have a Facebook page for Australians to get lots of free information and tidbits about retiring overseas. It's amazing how many people are thinking about doing it, but I urge people to really think hard, because there's so many silly things that stop us from doing such a wonderful, you know, adventurous things like retiring overseas. I just used to, I look back now and think all those silly reasons I had not to go weren't real. They were just silly. I'm so glad I broke through the barrier and thought, yes, I'm doing it, and just took the leap. But International Living Australia has a website and a great Facebook page. So I highly recommend it.
All right. And we're getting towards the end of the interview now. How's your extended family reacted to you moving overseas, and do you think you'll have lots of visitors?
I don't have a large family, so I guess it was probably easier for me to move overseas, but we will be getting visitors. We're having some visitors soon. Actually, my son's friend is coming over after he finishes his HSC later this year, so he's coming over to hang out in Chiang Mai. In terms of family, with the older members of my family, I write letters, but I keep close contact with my friends and family via Facebook generally. I feel just as close to them here than I did back in Australia. With internet now, you really don't feel a distance. I talk to my best friend nearly every day via Facebook, and we probably speak on the phone once or twice a week. I can't wait till she comes over. But it's really, I look at it this way. Throughout your lifetime, you have people drift in and drift out. And this time I was someone who drifted. I was just one of the people that drifted out. But I'm still available in here for my friends. And we have a spare room if anyone comes.
That sounds wonderful. So, and if something happened, do you feel that it's a safe country? Like if something terrible happened to you, you're happy there that you can get all the help that you would need, like doctors and help from the embassy and stuff like that?
Oh, yes. We're a tight group, the Australians in Chiang Mai, and Ron Elliott is our honorary consul of Australia, and he's doing a fantastic job. Look, a friend of mine unfortunately had a stroke the other day and I was called and I raced to the hospital and I was talking to the doctor on his iPad looking at the brain scans and the doctor was talking me all through. Very high tech here, much less waiting times. I'm very confident with the medical system here for emergencies. I feel extremely safe here. Even the place I live in a Mooban, which is a little village, and it's a gated community, and we have security guards there. I don't know why, because I haven't seen a lot of bad crime or any evidence of bad crime here. I mean, bad things happen in every city, but it's not prolific here at all. So I feel incredibly safe. I was broken into in Australia and felt terribly violated by all my things being stolen. I feel safer here, I think, than in Australia.
Well, that's comforting to know. And do you have any tips for people that are thinking about living overseas?
Oh, yes. I really think you need to do a lot of research and you need to visit the place and trial it out, come to visit the country for, you know, 2 or 3 months and really suss out whether you'd like it. And get involved with the expats club, because that's where people can give you all the information. There's just funny things that you don't know. For example, when I bought my first condo, I didn't even notice that there wasn't a PowerPoint in the bathroom, because of course Thai people had no reason to have a PowerPoint in the bathroom. So now they do have PowerPoints in bathrooms, but there's just funny little odd things that you'd never expect, and it's really good to explore all of those and be prepared before you decide to move here or move anywhere. So I definitely think that lots of reading and research, listening to things, conversations like this, and looking on the internet at the International Living Australia page. So definitely visit and do some research too. If you do choose to move overseas, do some research on what you might need to bring. Some things aren't available in other countries and you miss them. So for Thailand, I always bring sheets. Every time when I visit Australia, I always bring sheets back, because the sheets here just aren't quite the same.
I see. Well, that's interesting. Another thing, I keep thinking of these extra things, food. Are you still cooking as much, or you shopping at markets, or
Yeah, and there's no way I'm cooking as much. We eat out probably once a day, if not twice a day. The food is fresh and very, very cheap. I had the best noodle curry the other day. It cost me $2. It was one of the finest curries I'd eaten in a long time. The markets around the corner, I can get lettuce and tomatoes and onions and cucumbers and all the things that I'd be buying at home. I do go to shopping centres too, because my husband likes Weet-Bix. My son likes white bread, like Australian bread, which I can get at the supermarkets. But I'm certainly in it for the Thai food. The Thai food is spectacular, and it's so layered with flavours, and I'm very happy with that. So I do still cook a little bit. I just cooked a casserole last night because we hadn't had one in a year. But, yes, we eat out most of the time. It's fantastic. But you can buy Vegemite here. That's definitely a plus.
Okay. So the little luxuries to remind you of home. And finally, I keep saying this.
Yep, that's okay.
The cost of living over there, well, you're a little bit different in that you've got three people there in your household. Is it significantly cheaper?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I'm probably living off a quarter of what we were living off in Australia. I know people who live here on the Australian pension, and so I'm not sure how much that is, but I don't expect it's terribly much. And they are like single people and they live here. I don't think they're eating out as often as I am, but you can certainly live here off an Australian pension and survive and pay your bills and not be stressed about them. We probably spend about... Maybe between 2,000 and 2,300 for a month, and that's for the three of us. And that's including all bills, all food, all entertainment, that's everything. I paid my motor scooter registration the other day, for example, and it cost me $4 to register my bike.
Right. Well, that puts it all in perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. It's very, very cheap living here. And the hospitals are cheap too. I mean, obviously, we don't have the luxury of Medicare, but still, prices are very affordable here if you do have to see a doctor.
Right. Well, it sounds wonderful. And for those that are looking for an alternative, if you want to retire early or if you think that you haven't saved up enough money, well, here's something that's worth considering. Living overseas, we're not that far away from Australia, are you?
No, not at all. That's exactly right. There's lots of Australians in Thailand because it isn't that far away.
And, yes, single people. Are there many single people over there, expats?
Ooh, all right. Yes, I'd say yes and no. There are a lot of expats that have married, generally men that find Thai women. The most successful relationships are when they're in a similar age group rather than at quite a discrepant age group. But I know a lot of single women that are happily living here and are very busy with all sorts of groups. There's so many groups to join. If you're a social creature and if you want them, I've done a drawing class and I'm just about to start going to a writer's club. And so there's lots of things to do for single people. And it is possible to find love here too, apparently. So, yeah.
All right. Well, it sounds wonderful. Thanks very much for giving up your time today and speaking to us. This has been Anne Nelson from Retire Well, Retire Happy, and I've been talking today to Rachel Devlin, the Chiang Mai correspondent for International Living Australia. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.